here to there. And I want to show you, this is the diagram that I've used over and over again. If you've been with us since Broad Street School, and maybe you've seen this over and over again, and you're sick of seeing this diagram, or maybe this is your first time or one of the few times and you haven't seen this diagram. Do we have that diagram up there? Do you have it? That would be, no, we didn't get the, maybe you haven't seen it. So it's a diagram like this. It has a little L square. You ever see these diagrams? It has a starting point and a finishing point. And there's a line in between. And here's the idea of this series. God is a God of movement. God is a God of change. And so you can see it with our seasons, right? From the beginning of the world, before sin entered the world, in perfect environment, God had created time. So there was a beginning to the day, middle of the day, end of the day. There was movement in the season. He created seasons, right? There was movement in the seasons. Before sin entered the world, there was change that was constantly happening. Like even in music, I don't know if you caught this morning, but there's movements in music. There's the verses, there's the bridge, there's the chorus. You ever see those big long music things? They have things called movements in them. There's different emotions. And so we are constantly in movement. We're constantly changing. There's things that are constantly, here's a way we break it down. There's a beginning, what was. There's a now, what is. And there's a future, what will be. So this is the idea of movement, that there was a was, where we were, what was happening, what happened in the past. We can't change that. We live in the now. Someplace on that diagram, there's a middle point, and there will someday be a there. So the question that we're walking through this morning is, how did God design us to move? Okay, let me put it this way. In our world, we have this term called, this is the question you ask, are you a Christian? And we're like, yeah, I'm a Christian. And over time, definitions change a little bit. See, being a Christian is a yes or no. Right? I'm a Christian. This is where I am. This is where I stand. This is the people that I connect with. I don't know why people say they're a Christian. There's a lot of different reasons. But I'm not sure that's really the question that Christ asked. He didn't say, are you a Christian? He asked, are you a disciple? See, a disciple is about change. It's about being a disciple means moving from here to there. There's a pre, before we come encounter Christ section. There's a when we encounter Christ section. There's a where he's leading us section. There's a there. So when God is looking at our lives, when he's looking at us, as we're entering this fall section, what I wanted to walk us through is, what is Christ doing in our life? He is moving us from here to there. He wants us to go on a journey. He doesn't want you to be just a Christian. He wants you to be a follower of him. He wants you to be a disciple. All right, there's movement. And for the next three or four weeks, I want to talk about this idea of, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Not a Christian, but a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want us to kind of differentiate, and we'll walk through this a little bit this morning, but differentiate those two terms. You may be a Christian, but you may not be a follower of Jesus Christ. You may label yourself with, hey, this is the religion I'm in, but as Christ defines a disciple, you may not be a disciple. And so he wants to move you from just a label, or maybe you're not even a Christian, you're like, I don't even believe in that stuff, but he wants to move you so that you can experience where there is. So I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, to John chapter 1. I want to talk about this first movement that Christ has for the disciples. John 1, starting in verse 35, it says this. John is one of the gospels, one of the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all written about Jesus, and they're all different views of Jesus. It's the same Jesus, but Matthew is written to the Jews, and so it's from a Jewish perspective of how Jesus came to fulfill prophecy and how he's the Messiah, the Savior. John is a theological view of Jesus. Like, he's telling stories, but he's teaching theology. He's teaching, like, this is who God is, this is who Jesus is. This is a spiritual implication of this story. And so we get to John chapter 1, the very first chapter. He doesn't do the birth of Jesus. He jumps right into it. And this is where he starts. Verse 35 says, the next day John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed him. Turning around, Jesus saw them and following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And this is the phrase I wanted to see. Verse 19, "Come and you will see." First movement. Moving people to come and see this Jesus. Let me just jump ahead a little bit. Again, sometimes as you read scripture, there's certain words that just keep popping up. And let me just read this section to you. Verse 43, the next day, after this day happened, this is the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, the Messiah, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now listen to this. Verse 46, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" And Nathanael asked, "Come and see." Did you get the phrase, "come and see"? Like, so we get, first of all, the first guy, Jesus comes, they come to Jesus, say, "Hey, Jesus, we want to know where you're staying. We just want to know a little bit about you." And Jesus says, "I don't want you to know a little bit about me. I want you to come and see me. I want you to see who I am. I don't want you to see religion. I don't want you to see Judaism. I want you to come and see me." And so a little bit later, one of the disciples comes and talks to his brother and says, "Hey, I think I found this guy. I think I found the Messiah. I think I found the one that the Old Testament wrote about. He's from Nazareth." And do you hear the skepticism right here? Seriously? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Like I don't believe that. I don't think that's the Messiah. I don't get that. And what I think Nathanael says is, "Come and see. Just take a look." See, the movement is, when we're first walking this path of what God wants for us, don't you think it's a movement towards come and see? Like, just see Jesus. See who he is. See who he is in the gospel. See what he does. See the life he lives. See him as the Messiah, the Savior. See, the first movement is not toward a religion or to a church. It's the first movement to see Jesus. So you can be a skeptic. You know what a skeptic is, right? They question everything or some things. Like, I don't buy this. I don't believe in this Christianity thing. I don't believe in this church thing. And you know what Jesus would say? "I just want you to come and see. I want you to take a step in and just look around." It's almost like you're buying a house, thinking about buying a house, you're looking at a bunch of houses, and someone's trying to sell, you got the sales pitch person, you need to do this, 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 and this. And you know what Jesus' sales pitch is? Just come and see. Go into the house, look around, see what it's there, see the room, see the garage, see the back porch, see the issues. You can even get an inspection. Come and see. Before you buy, before you move into this, come and see. And Jesus says, "Listen, I want people who are far from me, who are skeptical. They don't have to jump right in. I want you to come and see." Let me just change it a little bit. There's a story in Luke chapter 5. I'm not going to read it to you. But he comes to Peter. And Peter's fishing. He's just throwing his nets. He's had a hard night, hadn't caught anything. Jesus says, "Hey, I want to jump into the boat. I want to teach a little bit." Peter's like, "All right, I'm cleaning my nets anyway. You might as well jump in." And all of a sudden, Peter he sees something. Jesus is like, "Hey, I want you to, I know you haven't caught anything, and I know I'm just a carpenter, this Jesus guy. I know that you don't trust me, and I know you're an expert fisherman, but what I want you to do is I want you to go a little bit out from shore, and I want you to put your nets in and see what happens." Peter's like, we're tired. We've worked hard all night. We haven't caught a thing. But because you say so, I've heard a lot of good things about you. I want to come and see what you are." And so he said, "I'll do it." And so he puts the nets in, and you know what happens, right? Because Jesus does amazing things. A huge catch of fish. They can't even haul, biggest catch he's ever had. Can't even haul it in. They get some partners with him. And this is what it says. When Peter saw this, his life changed. When he saw Jesus. See, sometimes not only do you get to hear about Jesus from me or from scripture, but do you know that you can see Jesus involved in your life? Like, you ever been walking through life and you just kind of look back a little bit and all of a sudden your eyes are open to all the Jesus things that have happened? all the people that he may have put in your life, the only God stories that have happened, all of a sudden, when you used to be skeptical, you're like, there's no way that this happened by accident. There must be a God because he's shown up in my life. Sometimes Jesus says, come and seek. So I want you to see what I can do in your life. I want you to see what I have done in your life, the movement that I have created. And so he says, come and see. This is the first half of the message, but I want to ask you this morning. I don't know where you're coming in this morning, if you're skeptical or not, but the invitation Jesus has is just come and see Jesus. Read the Gospels. There's four of them, beautiful pictures of Jesus. Because, I don't know you, but I know our world thinks Christianity is a political view. Christianity is a group that they're part of. It's a little box that you check when you're doing some surveys. Christianity is what you grew up in. Christianity is what I'm used to. I've always gone to church. And I'm just going to tell you that what Jesus is calling us to is really none of that. It's all about him. Does that make sense? It's about come and see Jesus. And so when we're saying who we are, what he wants to do, the movement he's trying to create in life, he's not trying to move you to Christianity. He's trying to move you to Christ, to Jesus. He's trying to move you to himself. Because in reality, Christianity is all about Jesus. It should be all about Jesus. Nothing to do about politics or church-ishness or our past, things that we're carrying. It's all about Jesus. And so what he wants you to do, he doesn't want you to jump blindly. He says, just come and see. There's a movie that came out. I haven't seen it, but I read the book, Case for Christ. I don't know if anybody, Case for Christianity, there's the three or four. Do you know he started, that the writer of that book, started trying to prove that Jesus did not exist. From a reporter's viewpoint, from someone who's very analytical, I'm going to try to prove that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that the Bible is false, that there's all these errors. And he really entered this thing of come and see. Starting as a skeptic, and what Jesus did, he showed up in his life. And not only did he see that there's truth, he also saw that that truth was for him. And in fact, there's other people that have gone on the same journey. Like, I'm just going to prove that he doesn't exist. I'm going to prove that the resurrection didn't happen. And all of a sudden you read later that they write a book about how Christ has transformed their life. But hear this. This is the next movement. For many people, that's where they come. They stop. They come and see. Right? You come to church because you're coming and seeing. You ever go to a football game? You know, football season starts today. Football is not soccer. Football is like tackling each other and stuff. There's some teams that you're probably rooting for. And there'll be like thousands of people sitting around coming seeing. Right? Do you get? You'll be watching on TV, millions of people coming seeing. But see, it doesn't stop at come and see. It moves to this phrase, so Jesus invites them, come and follow. You know these letters, DTR? Anybody familiar with DTR? Those letters, you know those texting letters? DTR stands for define the relationship. You ever been in a relationship that you or the other person wants, you know that you're going to have a conversation sometime? And you've been, I don't even know what you don't even know what you are. You're like, you're liking this person or they're liking you, and you're just kind of doing things, but you haven't really defined what you are yet. And so you know that you're going to have a conversation about what are we really? Are we just friends? Are we just, are we dating? Are we going out? Are we hanging out? And there's all these different, are we in a relationship? Are we out of a relationship? Are we engaged? Are we going to get married? What are we? And so for some people in here, you know that you can see it coming, the DTR definition of the relationship conversation. And so you do all you can to run from that conversation, right? Have you ever been previously or now been in a relationship? Like you just run from it. You're like, we're not talking about this right now. I don't want to define this yet. I just want to be friends, maybe maybe friends with a little bit more. I don't want to define it yet. You know, come and see is living a relationship without definition. Like, hey, I like you, Jesus. Get your pom-poms. Jesus. You know, we're singing worship choruses this morning, and we're like, Jesus, Jesus, we love Jesus. You know, you can wear your fish shirts to church. You know, Jesus, we love Jesus. You could like put it on your cars. You could have all sorts of things all over the place in your house about Jesus. But that's, if you're just rooting for Jesus, that's not where he stops, wants you to stop. It's not a one day a week where we come in and root for Jesus. It's not like bandwagon jumpers. You know, we have some Denver fans who are bandwagon jumpers in here, you know, and they started winning. All of a sudden, they're part of the team. They're like, yes, I have my Denver shirt, my Peyton Manning shirt, you know. And I'm sure some of you are like a closet Buffalo Bills things. Once they start winning, no, if they start winning, you'll be coming out of the closet and be like, yes, I'm a Bills fan. Go Bills. But there's a big difference between being a fan of somebody and being a follower of somebody. There's a big difference between come and seeing who Jesus is and then come and following. See, one is like minimal effort, like just come and sit down and relax and enjoy the journey, enjoy the view. Hey, my wife does this, my kids do this, I do this. Like, I'm in another room, and they're like, Dad, come and see. I don't want to. I want you to tell me what's going on. No, come and see my 3.5-year-old. Come and see my little people. They're so cool. They're jumping around. I don't know. My wife's like, come and see what Jayla's doing. You know, come and see. You know, we got this. And some of us have stayed in that phrase, come and see, way too long. You've gone through the motions of church. You come every week. You cheer for Jesus. You may listen to Family Life Network. You may have some good books. But when it comes to really Jesus coming to you and say, come, follow me. And that's not something that you do like weekly, once a week. You do have to do that daily. Like, you're like, Jesus, I'm doing life with you. I'm connecting with you. I want you to grow me. I want you to, wherever you go, I go. You know, because what we tend to want to do is I want Jesus to look really good in my life, but I want to be able to make my own decisions. I want to do it my way. I want to do relationships my way. I want to do my finances my way. I want to do my work my way. I'm good coming seeing. I'm good worshiping once a week. I'm good with that 1 hour commitment. If I'm defining the relationship and you're really looking at yourself, you're like, I'm okay with you asking me to come to church once a month, twice a month, three times. I'm okay if you ask for a few dollars. God, I'm okay if you want me to join a small group, maybe. But if you're asking me to move someplace, I'm not doing it. Guess what? You're not coming follow. If you're relationship with Jesus hasn't cost you something yet, then you're probably not to the come and follow step yet. Because what it says in Scripture, what it says in Mark, it says, they got up and they left, you know what the phrase is? They left everything and followed Jesus. So that's how you know if you're a fan or a follower. Has it cost you anything? Is there a commitment there? Because there's a huge difference between me looking at my wife when I was in eighth grade, be like, wow, she's cute, than being married to her today. Does that make sense? There's a big difference between even like dating her. Like, we defined it. What are we? Gina, what are we? What are we? We're dating? I don't even know what the terms are. Like, going out and dating seems like the same thing to me, and I think they're different. But are we going out? Are we dating? You're like, that's still way different than being married to her, waking up every morning next to her today. And what I think this from here to their movement is, we may be skeptical right now. And it's okay. Let me just say, it's okay to come and see. It's okay to say, I wanna see what this is about. But if you're still sitting there 10 years later, 20 years later, 5 years later, saying, all right, this is good, this is comfortable. I like being a Christian. I'm okay defining myself that way without any kind of commitment of following. You're not getting to there where he wants you to be. Because let me just fill you in a little bit. Even though there's sacrifice in marriage, when marriage is done right, it's beautiful. It's a gift from God. Like, I would never want to date. That is a terrible time in my life. You know, like, figuring things out. Like, do I like this girl? Do I like this girl? Does she like me? How do I go talking about it all the time? I like this, the comfort of knowing who I'm with every day for the rest of my life and doing life with them and walking in the same direction. I love that. I love the joy that we have together. I love what we have. And so I wouldn't go back to a non-committal relationship for nothing. Because I like the commitment we have together. I'm just saying, Jesus, you may say this is comfortable for you, and you're like, I don't wanna sacrifice. I don't wanna give up my job if you ask me to. I don't wanna be all in, I wanna be part in. And I'm just telling you, you're missing out on the joy of seeing God show up powerfully and amazingly and the relationship of what it's like to live with him. I'm just telling you, you can be a fan of Derek Jeter. But playing ball with Derek Jeter is something different. Be on the same team. Does that make sense? I just think there's a movement that you seeing Jesus from up front and then kind of walking through life and only God's story is popping up over and over. You know, just I want us to walk through the movement. You know, I don't know what's going through your mind this morning. But as we walk through this series, what I want you to see is the journey that God has you on. Because let me say this too. Just because we're following him doesn't mean that we're arrived either. We still mess up. We still fall. It's movement. Christ wants movement. He's encouraging, keep moving closer to me. Keep following me. Just keep, you know what this really comes down to? When he says, come follow me, you know what it really boils down to? Can you trust the Jesus that you see? Do you trust yourself or do you trust the beautiful Jesus that you see, the powerful Jesus? And I just want to encourage you, keep moving. We have a world full. We have a North America full of people who are stuck at come and see. Sitting on the sidelines, sitting in the stands, but never experiencing the powerful story of God in their life. And did you get this one thing? Do you notice that both of those are invitational? Hey, do you want to come? Do you want to come and see? It's a choice. Do you want to come and follow? Jesus never forces you. He always invites you. Come. Come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know this is a battle in our lives. It's so much easier to watch something than be involved and be deeply connected to something. Whether it's fear that keeps us out of a deeper relationship or whether it's just wanting to do it our way, there is something that keeps us from moving into the journey that you have for us. This journey of discipleship, this journey of learning, this journey of apprenticeship. So God, for the skeptics in here this morning, I pray that they hear your voice say, come and see. See how amazing you are, Lord. For the people who have been in the come and see, I pray that they hear your voice, your invitation, come and follow me. And God, I pray that as we sit here, that we won't just sit here, that we'll walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.